Now, when her last book launched, I sent her some flowers just to wish her good luck to the posh West End hotel where she was having the launch. Well, they didn't get there. They got to the front desk, but the bar was on the top floor and they couldn't be bothered to take him up in the lift. So that was 90 quid down the tubes. She'll be lucky to get a cactus this time around. And it's Mothering Sunday. Flower prices are through the roof, so she can whistle for that, I'm telling you now. Back with these saucy, high-end shenanigans that make her novels so successful. It's a page-turner, Bad Brides, from the pen and head of the remarkable Rebecca Chance. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm good, thank you, darling. I'm so sorry about that flower thing.
They're off our list. It's now, if it's a hotel, it's Lenny Henry's or none for me now. That's it.
That purple is flattering. It's nice lighting. It makes the skin look lovely.
Your publishers are already marketing this book in the glare of 50 Shades, but your stories are more fun, they're more camp, and they've got more heart than that, I think. Would you agree?
Well, yes. Also, I think 50 Shades, even though you see why people go there for a comparison, is actually very traditional. Mills and Boone, virgin and multimillionaire, who learns to love because of the virgin, you know, the virgin's love, makes the multimillionaire love too. And that's not what I do. I'm much more just kind of Jilly Cooper-esque, which is, I think, how they are planning to market them in future, which does make a lot more sense to me because they're very jolly romps and that's, you know... horsey thighs, big thighs. Yeah, I always think of thighs with Jilly Cooper somehow, doesn't one? But yeah, I think I'm much more Jilly Cooper, really.
And your heroines are all bad girls. So you have the Bad series and the Killer series. This is Bad Brides. It's not women trying to tame the bad guy ever, is it? It's women Lord, no. Who are bad.
Good Lord, no. No, how very boring. You know, I leave that, you know, to the... 54 or 50. I always worry about what happens to 50 Shades girl when she's tamed him. You know, now she's gonna have to get the gardener to spank her or something, isn't she? Because she's got the taste for it now. He's not going to be doing it anymore. He's a nice husband. So, yeah, that's always the trouble with taming them. Then you don't want them. No. You know, chuck them back.
Names are great in this. Abel, well beloved or well beloved?
Well beloved.
Well beloved.
In my head.
Particularly good. He's a country bumpkin pig farmer with a hairy back. Now, I like him.
You know, I really like him too. He's a man of little words, but then he doesn't need very many, does
no,
he?
Not when you've got that.
He's a lovely strapping pig farmer. I describe him as a man mountain in the books, and I had huge amounts of fun with him. It's a kind of P.G. Woodhouse joke as well, because the pig farmer at Blandings is George Cyril Wellbeloved. And as soon as I was thinking, I need a pig farmer, as one does, I thought, ooh, what was the name in P.G. Woodhouse? And then, of course, it was Wellbeloved. Mm. It's just too good. I must have remembered that subconsciously. It was too good to be true. So, yes, Abel, well-beloved by name and by nature.
You seen Blandings on the TV?
Yeah, can't. You know, they're changing the plots.
It's not good,
Agatha
is it?
Christie, my dears. And, you know, P.G. Woodhouse, one of the best plotters in the world, Agatha Christie the other. They put them on TV and they change the plots. What is that about? Come
and
on
it's
now.
All the over-the-top acting. You don't get that much ham at hog roast, do you?
Yeah. I'm having too close to the microphone. I nearly spat my water in the microphone. No, absolutely, 100%. And I don't know why all the eye rolling. And what is the Freddy's weird quiff?
I know.
So unnecessary. It's not like Woodhouse isn't funny in the first place.
But this is what happens, you see, when you take the written word and put it on screen. Has that ever happened? Have people shown an interest in your books? And have you gone, do you know what? I'd like the money, but I don't want that.
I'm going to be very vulgar and said that I've always taken the money. I took the money from the BBC back in the day when I was writing crime novels. And they got hold of my crime novels, which are about, you know, an independent young woman about town enjoying herself and solving crime. And they wanted to call it Sex Games. The pilot was called Sex Games. And it was going to star Michelle Collins, Cindy EastEnders back in the day. Mm-hmm. And the opening line was, you know, Sam's had enough of men. And, you know, having sex with her and just walking out. This time she's going to do it back. And I was like, oh, God. But, you know, I took the money and they never made it, thank God. I mean, the ideal in a way is they, you know, they pay you and they never actually make it.
There's a theme of that, taking the money in Bad Brides.
Look at you with your good links. You should be a professional.
I'm like a kind of Pete Murray for the 21st century, me, aren't I, Rebecca? Aren't I really?
Perfect.
Google that name if you're too young. There is, because there are two people, well, three really. Millie Gamble, who's an actress determined to be the most famous star in England. Mm-hmm. She dates Tarquin Ormond, who's lead singer of the biggest folk band at the moment, Step Four, Mumford & Son.
They're kind of like, and Coldplay. I had a lot of fun with the meaningless Coldplay lyrics. We made up meaningless Coldplay. Seriously, if you read the book, I kind of have taken some Coldplay and very much twisted it. But I really enjoyed those, you know, birds come flying from the underground at the speed of sound. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? To tell us how it all began, it really annoys me. But at least I had, you know, fun with, you know, these utterly pointless, meaningless lyrics that everybody sings.
I love the fact that the biggest folk band of the moment is now said that people are just assuming it's not an oxymoron. You know, years ago, you never had a big folk band.
I like to do these rip from the headlines things. This is very much the book of this period that has sort of nailed these things.
So it's odd,
I do
isn't
like
it?
To get
time.
That right.
So you've got Millie, you've got Brianna, who's brought to Britain by her billionaire mother. Who will have the most lavish wedding? And it's odd that it matters that people need to get on a magazine cover, isn't it?
Well, in a way, I mean, for Millie, it's a career thing. And although Millie is not at all a sympathetic character, you do really take the point that marrying well or, you know, having a celebrity relationship, look what it's done for Amber Heard, who knew who she was before she started dating Johnny Depp. So these things do really matter nowadays.
Bit of fracking in here. See, I'm never going to grow up, Rebecca, and I can't take the debate on how to extract gas supplies seriously because of the word fracking.
Put that in as well. Well, really, the thing was, I just watched Tamara, who is that cougar heroine. I love saying cougar. She is the fracking queen. And there is also something very juvenile about me which just enjoys the fact that you can keep saying fracking queen again and again without people thinking it's just
Tamara,
funny.
She is the most outrageous. You go to town on her sex scenes, don't you? You go to town on them.
I'm very Tamara in my heart. I'm very Tamara. Yes, I ain't one of, you know, little heroines. I'm very Tamara. I enjoyed her tremendously. And she's to me, she's incredibly sympathetic because she was a single mother, dirt poor part of America at 16, and was just determined to get out and make a better life for herself, but for her daughter. So it's all been about the daughter, and we're seeing her kind of cut loose once she's got the daughter sorted out and bought an L for her daughter. But she is very, very entertaining.
She is entertaining.
Never know what she's going to do next.
No, I must go slip and slide myself one time.
Yes, there are read bits. Slip and slide I actually got from Millionaire Matchmaker.
Okay.
Patty Stanger's always going on about completely waxed men
for our
listeners being slip and slide.
I don't like that. To me, it looks like the last chicken at Sainsbury's on a Friday night.
I think they leave a little bit for emphasis in certain areas.
Then it just looks like Hitler's moustache. It's all wrong.
Oh, free write-off.
Tell you what is funny. I laughed out loud at this reference. Edmund uses imperial leather. I used to think that was so posh when I was a kid.
Me too. That's partly why I put it. But it's just the kind of thing you would have in a decaying stately home. Yeah. You know, the bar of imperial leather, isn't it? It's just what an earl without much money would use.
Yeah. Where's it come from? When you were writing this, did you think, right, I have to scour through these magazines. I need to go to the good parties. I need to meet these people. Or is it just your wonderful imagination?
I do know quite a lot of these people to some degree. Or I know people who know these people. So they've been, you know, the posh people are definitely in reserve for when I need them. And what I do is, you can't get them to talk openly. You just have to kind of sit there and listen, which is obviously hard for me because I like to talk. But you have to sit there and listen. If you say to somebody directly, oh, you're posh, you know, can I ask you a few questions? One of my friends who is posh will always go, oh, darling, no, I'm not posh at all. We don't have any estates left, really. So if you do it full frontal, but, you know, if you sit and listen to them, for instance, there's a bit in the book where they're learning, Tamara and Brianna Jade, who are new to British high society, are learning things like never wear stilettos to the polo because your heels will go in the grass and ruin the grass.
Yes.
So all the posh girls wear le chemin wellies and mini skirts. And that was from two friends of mine talking about how vile it was. Vile that these, you know, stuck-up little commoners wore stilettos and didn't know any better and had Jimmy Choo's. So I just kind of make notes and save it for this kind of thing.
What do women want out of erotic literature then? Because they're two very different genres, aren't they? Or are they, for men and for women?
Well, there isn't much erotic literature for men, really, because they just tend to look at the stuff, don't they? I think we definitely like a good story. We definitely like a good love story. But you know, my books are not 50 Shades in it. They're not all just the one character having sex with the character they're going to marry at the end. There's quite a lot more wildness than that, as anyone who's read my books know. And I think it gives you permission. If I'm writing these, you know, over-the-top stories with lots of, you know, wild sex, I think it gives women permission to actually go, oh, I like that one, I like that one.
It is wild, but it's actually quite, if not delicate, it's quite loving. Tamara and the two male escorts, possibly the exception. But it is wild, it's fun, but it's also deeply sensitive, I think.
Oh, God, thank you. Well, in this one particularly, two people have sex who shouldn't be having sex with each other and it's not their fault. It's a misunderstanding by night in a four-poster bed with curtains, which could really happen to anybody if you think of it that way. It really could happen to anybody at a stay at home house party. And it's when they have sex, it's when they and the reader realise that they're meant for each other, that they are the right people for each other. And or even though they don't have sensitive sex at all, the way they communicate, you go, oh God, this is the partnership that should be happening.
Don't say any more because we're coming up to spoiler alert territory now, Rebecca.
I'm very good about that kind of thing. But that is the kind of thing I like writing too, where the sex actually becomes, you know, the sex is essential to show that these people are right for each other and sometimes to show that people are wrong for each other. I've got a couple in the book who aren't really right for each other. And what I actually enjoyed writing was just nice, normal, satisfying sex. But, you know, my face is making that expression to go, you know, it isn't something you'd ever want to just live with for the rest of your life.
No.
And that was a fun challenge to write as well, because it had to be, you know, good, satisfying. Oh God, it sounds so boring, doesn't it? And you see, it's exactly how you're supposed to feel. So you can convey all different kinds of things.
And this book in paperback, it's what, 470 odd pages. It represents what period of your life? Can you do one a year? Do you do two a year?
I did two last year. Yeah. I don't recommend this to anybody. This is only for trained professionals. People, do not try this. What happened was that I wrote most of Killer Queens, which came out last summer, and that came out in August, and I'd already started Bad Brides, but then somebody at my publishers actually had a very sensible realization, because Bad Brides was supposed to be this June, and this person, who I think was in marketing, actually went, you guys, wedding season starts in March, weddings are in June, but we want to get this book out for wedding season, for all the wedding fairs, for all the people who are going to buy it, and the run up to their wedding or the wedding they're organising. So there was a mad rush to get it out in March.
Well, listen, your female audience, your gay audience, and your one straight male reader called Brian is going to love it.
Five straight men now. I'm building up gradually. Somebody asked me earlier in an interview today, you know, who are your books for? And I went, very firmly, women and gay men. And she was like, really? No straight men? And I was like, look, they'll learn something.
The next one's going to be Mile High Club, yeah?
It is. Everyone's very excited about that one. I'm interviewing flight attendants now. And, oh, good top tip. If you are going to join the Mile High Club and you are going to do it in one of the loos, always be nice to the staff before you go in, because they can open those toilet doors from outside. And my friend told me that in the past, when people have been snotty and then gone into the toilet, flight attendants will open the door when they know what you're up to and let the door flap open and laugh and point.
Well, there you are. The Mile High Club will come. I think the subtitle should be Chicken or Beef, but that's just... It's a personal thing. Bad Brides is published by Simon and Schuster at $7.99. It is, as all the others have been, fabulous. Thank you, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you, darling. You give the best interview.